We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I really can't answer that, Rich. I'm not going to go through a dissertation like that, Rich. That's a question I'm not going to answer, Rich.
Rich Campbell.
It's a piece of the pie you got to fight for up here. We got to get the shovel out and get to the bottom of things the way it's supposed to be.
Covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune.
Going back to this up-tempo thing, talking about the things you like. What has your dialogue and interactions with Matt been? How have they evolved over the two seasons? Just going through things that you like, things that he can do to help you and be more comfortable and help you see things the way you want to see them and play as instinctively as you want to see.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. That was a lot of good words.
Rich Campbell with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Mark Brody and Anthony Herron in for McNeil and Parkins on The Score today. And yes, Rich Campbell was in Lake Forest today at Hallis Hall, Bears headquarters, for the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy press conference to end the year. George McCaskey speaking as well, and so did Ted Phillips. And Rich joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Rich, did you have a top takeaway from the meeting today at Hallis Hall?
Yeah, absolutely, Grody. And the top takeaway is that Ryan is going to continue to go through this journey with Mitch Trubisky. And you could probably characterize it as continue to go out on the limb with him, go into year four without Trubisky having proven that he can sustain excellence for any long period of time. And we'll have to see what they do at the other quarterback position. And that will give us a better sense of their confidence in Trubisky and the safety net they have in place. But at least for right now, they believe in Mitch enough to see this through and to continue with him as the starter, present that scenario to prospective free agents that are going to have to consider their opportunity to perhaps play in Chicago, whether they're going to get a chance if Mitch falters or gets injured, whatever. And they just haven't sustained anything consistently enough for fans to feel good about this over the next 8 months. It's going to be a long offseason for them, selling something that can't be sold. The only thing that's going to change this is results. And so you brace for an offseason of them trying to push through and get Mitch elevated with no guarantee that anything is going to change.
I think it's accurate, Rich. No one's going to feel comfortable until you get on the field next season and actually some folks start making some plays consistently on offense. But I do think at this point, where they weren't likely to just oust Trubisky anyway, but I do believe bringing in a veteran backup, assuming it's someone, you know, at least with more upside or perhaps more proven, whatever the case may be, than Chase Daniel, just, you know, likely more competent, that it would still indicate that now there's someone here who, if Mitch falters again next season, then you have someone who you're willing to put in the lineup with the hopes that they can consistently win games, as opposed to just be sort of a glorified assistant coach as Chase Daniel was. Whoever that veteran backup is, if it's not Chase Daniel, how do you think that will end up going down, being received, perhaps affect Mitch Trubisky?
Well, I would just, for starters, say that for as much as Ryan Pace talked about honest assessments, difficult decisions, I think painful was a word used by Bears brass today, that I don't see how an honest assessment of where they are in the passing game could lead them to any other action other than what you just talked about, signing that backup or that QB2 with more upside, the potential to do what, let's say, Ryan Tannehill did for the Titans this year, to come in relief and lead them to the playoffs, to sustain success, whether that's something that's long-term or just a heater, that remains to be seen. But in order just to keep them afloat, keep this regime in place by making the playoffs next year, I don't understand how any honest assessment could take you in another direction. So, all right, that being said, that's life in the NFL. When you are 32nd in the NFL in yards per passing attempt, you've got to make some changes. You can't just keep the status quo. I mean, they are worse than every team, you know, worse than the Steelers who were down to their third stringer, worse than the Panthers who were down to their third stringer. The Bears had their starter for 14 games, and they didn't get out of the last slot in that ranking. And so regardless of Mrs. Confidence and his mental state of mind, which I think the Bears have had to manage and have admitted at times, and Trubisky has admitted at times, has been beaten down or has been down, has been an impediment, you've got to do what's best for the team. And that's what is best for them, is to get this other competition in there for him. And then understand that Mitch is a competitor, and it's got to bring the best out of him. It's got to push him toward that mastery of coverages that Matt Nagy talked about today. Now, I think it's a separate conversation that Mitch is entering year four, and this is a conversation that they're having about him, that he hasn't mastered coverages, that this is part, in my estimation, of his year one experience that applies, that you can't just toss out, oh, it was before he was with Nagy. No, he was reading NFL coverages for 12 right. starts in 2017.
Yep.
Okay, you can't just toss that out. The fact that we're here and that's his issue, that's a concern, but okay, that's the situation, and he's got to do better. I mean, bottom line, if they're going to give Mitch this opportunity, he's got to respond and play better, and so much of this organization depends on that. For as much as we heard Ryan Pace today talking about the different parts of the offense that are broken or need work, I agree with that, but quarterback is the most important. I think Pace believes that too, whether he said it today or not. And we'll have to wait till September. That's the hard part about it. We'll have to wait till September to get the results.
Rich Campbell with us from the Chicago Tribune covers the Bears on a daily basis. Mark Rohde and Anthony Herron in for McNeil and Parkins today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, with Mark Helfrich having been let go, Harry Hiestand, Kevin Gilbride, Brock Olivo as well. Let's zero in on the offensive coordinator, Rich. What type of OC do you think that they will bring in? And do you have any names floating in your head on guys that might have a crack at this OC job with the Bears?
Well, let's establish what this OC position is first and foremost. I mean, Matt Nagy is the offensive coordinator of this team. He is the leader of the offense. He's the play caller. He's the main strategist. And so it's I don't want to say offensive coordinator in title only, but you just understand the way that the hierarchy works in this operation and the dynamics at play. Now, Mark Helfrich was heavily responsible for coordinating the run game. And of course, Harry Hiestand being the offensive line coach, that naturally fits under that as well. So I think today what we saw from Nagy, at least, was an acknowledgement that there are some major elements of the run game that need to change. Okay, I think any skeptical fan out there would point to that stat that I gave you a few minutes ago. The Bears were dead last in the league in yards per pass attempt. Where is the accountability there? Okay, it's Matt Nagy's show. He's running it, all right? You understand that part of it's not going to change. Brian Pace said he has extreme confidence in Matt Nagy as the play caller. That part of it's not going to change. So whether you want to call Mark Helfrich a scapegoat or Harry Hiestand a scapegoat or not, I think we can all agree that any changes to the offense, you can understand why the Bears feel a need to make some in any area. Okay, so with an offensive coordinator then, if you are a coach out there looking for work, what about this opportunity is going to appeal to you? You know, if you're not play calling and you've seen how the guy before you was ousted here in a situation where accountability probably needs to go all around, you're going to look at this very closely. You're also going to have to decide, do I believe in Mitch Trubisky? Is this a horse that I want to attach my wagon to? In terms of names, nothing that we've turned over yet is worth reporting. So we'll have to see how this continues to play out. But I would also just encourage fans to understand the limited impact that this guy will have on who they are. I mean, Matt is the strategist here. He's the guy who is running this. He has to certainly be open to the collaboration of whatever innovative concepts the new guy brings, whatever input he has on a strategic basis, on a week-to-week basis. They need to develop the quarterback. The quarterback has to play a lot better. They have to block better. I mean, obviously the offensive line regressed almost across the board. I think you could say definitely across the board this year. What a major problem that was. And I think you heard today Ryan Pace He was as critical about the offensive line as he was any part of the operation. So when the He Stand news came out later, that wasn't surprising at all. But they're going to have to find an O-line coach they believe in. And again, guys, go back to how they talked about He Stand when they hired him and all through the last 2 years. Unwavering praise. Just all the way on this guy, his technique and his methods. Here he is fired 2 weeks later. This team has to prove it. You know, that enough words, enough talk, everything they say and do this offseason has to be taken with a grain of salt until they prove it next year. And so I'm not sure how meaningful these coaching changes are going to be. We're going to have to wait till September to see.
Mark Grody and Anthony Herron here on 670 The Score, filling in for McNeil and Parkins. We're talking to Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. He is on Twitter at Rich_Campbell, always spitting his Bears knowledge here on The Score. The coaching changes and the new offensive coordinator, specifically that position, could it be telling if a veteran football offensive mind, someone with NFL experience, comes in? And even though your point about Matt Nagy still running the show, calling the plays, will certainly be true. But if they bring in someone, you know, I'll use Norv Turner as an example, even though it won't be Norv Turner, but someone seasoned and experienced in specifically directing quality run games, could that at least be telling that the Bears not only admit and give lip service to the problem that has been there on the ground, but are saying, all right, we're going to allow this individual to have a role in fixing it?
Yeah, that would be interesting for sure. And whenever that hire is made, you obviously have to look closely at how the Bears present that. I mean, we'll have a chance to speak to Matt Nagy about the hire at some point. We'll have a chance to speak to the new hire whenever that's made. And if the talk is a lot about the run game, then we'll have a good idea of what they were brought in to fix. I think another point we need to acknowledge here, another dynamic here, is Brad Childress's role as a senior offensive assistant on this staff. I mean, that's the type of guy you're talking about, Anthony, is that established coach who's been in the league three decades, who has sort of had this undefined role as far as we in the public know. I'd be very interested to hear from Mark Helfrich right about now about what he thought of Brad Childress's influence, who wasn't on board in that capacity when he signed up in 2018, how that all worked together, how much Nagy is listening to Brad Childress, if they would consider moving Brad Childress into that role, would Childress even be interested at this stage of his career in that role? And whoever they get at offensive coordinator is going to have to be comfortable with what Brad Childress is saying and the input that he has, because Nagy obviously respects him, going back to their roots with Andy Reid. And so there's a bunch of moving parts here, or just at least dynamics that have to be considered. And yeah, I agree with you that run game, I think that's the spotlight that we have in mind. That's the context for this move. And then we're going to have to see when the circle comes together, when it fills in and we get the name of the hire and understand their background, just exactly what might change in the running game.
Rich, Ryan Pace spoke glowingly of Kyle Long today. It's been pretty clear for a while, though, it seemed that he's not going to be part of the Bears' future going forward with his team. But Long has made some cryptic comments on Twitter about being healthy and then being put on injured reserve. Do you have any idea what kind of went on with him towards the end, because he just wasn't around? I mean, he wasn't on the sideline like a lot of guys will be on IR. Never saw him in the locker room. Any answers on Kyle Long?
Yeah, I think the best way that I can put it is that Kyle Long was exiled from the team, and it was not his decision. And so whatever was said today, you have to look at what happened leading up to that, and that is the team decided it was done with Kyle Long. And if anything other than his departure ensues, I would be absolutely shocked. I think the Bears just decided that Long's time with them had run its course, and they're going to go in a different direction. And you make a great point, Grody. I mean, how many guys were injured and even on IR were around the team, continued to travel with the team? Kyle was not welcome as part of that. And so you have him in this state of exile, kind of came back to the surface, I would say, I don't know, what, 3 weeks ago, maybe, and you see him hosting game watches on Twitch and tweeting during games, and Kyle's got some itchy Twitter fingers at times, and it makes for compelling dramas from our standpoint. But I think it was made very clear by just the parameters that were set for his exile that he will not be back with this organization.
I don't know how deep a dive you've been able to do yet, Rich, just as it relates to the Bears' resources and resources they can potentially try to create. But they've expended some resources here in recent years in sort of win-now mode. What do they have? What could they try to create?
Yeah, I'm glad you offered that disclaimer, Anthony. But it's important. It's important to, that we get a handle on what their salary cap situation is, and we're getting a sense for their draft, their draft pick situation right now. I would say this: they're obviously not in as much of a comfortable salary cap position as they have been, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago when they were signing guys who weren't necessarily productive. I mean, guys like Eddie Royal, Pernell McPhee, they come to mind. But the Bears could get out of those contracts. Well, the Bears advanced and built their own cabinet up. They filled their cabinet with their own draft picks with mixed results. Okay? This win-now mode is underscored by Mitch Trubisky still being on his rookie contract. So that's extremely important in terms of the urgency and how the Bears have to balance their patience with him. The best way for the Bears to get better in 2020 is to get better quarterback play. There's no disputing that. Even Ryan Pace says the way to sustain success in the NFL is great quarterback play. So they need Mitch to elevate. So that resource is already in their building. They're going to have to try to, with their coaches that they're keeping in place, Dave Ragone, Matt Nagy, elevate Mitch and his mastery of coverages. That's part of it. All right, they've obviously decided they needed to make a change at the coaching spot in the offensive line. They're going to have to find a right guard. And they're going to have these guys who had down years, like Charles Leno, play better. I mean, a lot of guys just had bad years. They got to play better. So one of the things we heard today was that, you know, we got a lot of the same players from 12-4. We just didn't have a 12-4 season. Okay, I think you can understand that. You got to change a couple things, but you need some of your guys to play better. Also, they're going to have to upgrade at tight end. I don't think they can count on Adam Shaheen and Trey Burton, both from a health standpoint and a performance standpoint, to play better and to be that guy for them. So they're going to have to figure something out with their salary cap there. They're going to have the 43rd and 50th picks in the draft. All right, you're not necessarily getting a game-changing starter right away, but you are getting a player that could start for you, depending on what tight end you draft, let's say, or an offensive lineman that might be able to start for you and solidify the pocket, help Mitch trust the pocket, like you heard Matt Nagy talk about today, where he can climb, keep his eyes up, and make himself more of a threat to run and go down the field with the ball. So there are a few things they can do around Mitch with a limited amount of resources relative to the wide open free agency resources and salary cap cash budget they had when they were earlier in Ryan Pace's tenure. I still think, though, that they've built this team with a young roster, and so the idea is to maintain continuity. And I think you heard that from them today, that improving from within with the players they have is going to be a huge part of returning to a championship level. They're going to have to piece some things together, as I said, but man, it does seem like the to-do list is very long, doesn't it? I mean, it's expansive.
Yeah.
When you look at both sides of the ball and the fact they didn't get sack production from Khalil Mack at his normal level, Leonard Floyd, certainly the sack production does not match up to a top 10 pick who's making the money he is making. All the way around, you've got evidence of guys that need to improve.
And watching this thing as closely as you do, being around the team, watching Matt Nagy, his communication style, his mannerisms, all those things, this season was coming down to earth where he felt kind of bulletproof coming into it off of last year and even in being hired, as popular as he was in a number of NFL circles. What's your sense now? What was your sense today for just the gravity of the situation? Does he, in all that positivity we've seen through two seasons, does he come across differently now than he previously did?
Well, I agree with Nagy in pointing to a potential silver lining of this season as them holding the team together through some serious adversity. 2 points to that adversity. They lost 4 games in a row in midseason and kind of fell out of contention with a long way to go. They were 4-6. They really could have gone in the tank. And even Matt Nagy admitted at the time he was on fracture watch because, and this is my second point, is when you have such a disparity between the offense and defense, you know, the defense led the NFC in points allowed. And they still finished out of the playoffs. Just shows you what a disparity there was between the defense and offense. And when you have that, that can be very toxic. It can really cause your team to crumble. Well, it didn't. And so let's push ourselves into 2020. Let's say it's November. Let's say it's Thanksgiving 2020. And the Bears are 7-3 or 8-4. And we're talking about how, man, remember last year when the Bears really just kind of kept the ship above water? That really calloused them for adversity that would occur in 2020 and allowed them to be a mentally tough with a young team in a way that helped them take that next step and sort of do what, let's say, I don't know, the Vikings did this season, where three seasons ago they were in the conference championship game, they missed the playoffs, now they got back to the playoffs, okay? I think we can all see that as a realistic scenario. So to me, that's one part of Nagy is the traits he has as sort of the captain of the ship. But job one for Matt Nagy is get this offense into the 21st century. Get the quarterback playing at an elite level. And so I have a hard time just letting Nagy get a free pass here, or at least any type of pass, for his leadership and people skills without acknowledging that job one is unfinished. And it's not even close right now in terms of their passing game and their offense being able to lift this team and cover for the defense and score touchdowns in the first half, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, in terms of Nagy, I think you understand that there is urgency for them. Now,
Rich, go ahead.
Let me just give you one more point here.
Yeah, please.
Today, Ryan Pace sits with 2 years left on his contract. Matt Nagy with 3 years left on his contract. A year from now, if we're having these conversations, the dynamic is going to be completely different about their job security because of the time left on their deals. So they've got a year. They've decided to go into it with Mitch. Let's see how it plays out.
Rich, really terrific stuff, and you nailed it, man. It's going to be a busy and intriguing offseason for all of us who cover the Bears, and thank you for joining us today, man.
My pleasure, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rich. Happy New Year.
Same to you. That is Rich Campbell, regular contributor here on The Score and one of the Chicago Tribune's beat writers. They got a bunch of them over there, but Rich Campbell you can find on Twitter, @Rich_Campbell. Coming up, we are going to hear from Buster Skrine, who probably gave the most interesting endorsement to the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy. And also, we've had a coworker from down the hall at our sister station take a legitimate public
challenge you to a
shot at you and I.
Okay.
At you and I, and maybe even Christopher Dickens to some degree as well. And I'm not kidding. Like the tenor of this tweet, which I read from one of our coworkers at our sister station down the hallway, was not that of friendliness.
I'm about it.
So I'm going to address that next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Wani. You know, and here's another tease on top of a tease. I'm going to talk about a Dave Wanstead team in a little bit, an anniversary, a 25th anniversary of my favorite Bears game of all time, and this coming from a kid who watched the 80s Bears and saw the 85 Super Bowl team and 86 Super Bowl win, the whole thing. So
let's talk Bears,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, Bears. The Bears. So that's coming up a little bit later on. Is Mark Grody and Anthony Herron. We're in for the afternoon duo of McNeil and Parkins again today. So we're here until 6. Julie and Maggie will be in after us. Can't wait to talk to those during transition right before their show starts. Join Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. All right, let me pay off the earlier tease. I told you that a coworker of ours from our sister station just down the hallway took a real shot at us. It's not just joking around
and
kind of stuff.
You know, you're more familiar with the climbs here than I am. Coworker, colleague?
Yeah, I guess he's a colleague. Yeah, colleague.
I never met this dude.
Yeah, you're right. Not a coworker, colleague, somebody
know
from
this
our
guy?
Sister station. And we're not all required to get along, so don't get me wrong here. But I just found this to be a little bit unnecessary. And literally, our sister station, WBBM, is 5 steps down the hall. There's a back entrance into Traffic and Weather Together. Right down our hallway. So here is the shot that was taken at Anthony Herron and me a short while ago from Bernie Tafoya, one of the news reporters over at WBBM. Bernie Tafoya says the following on Twitter. He says, the guys on 670 The Score now might want to pay a little attention to actual news, too, instead of just sports. Pot will be legal throughout the state of Illinois at midnight, not just Chicago. Dispensaries have been open for a while for those who get cannabis for medical reasons. Now I'll read it the way Tom Tunney would have read it, and I think Bernie Tafoya is thinking, the guys on 670 The Score now may want to pay a little attention to actual news, too, instead of just sports. Pot will be legal throughout the state of Illinois. Thank you, Bernie. Bernie? Let's see you pronounce E.A. Booney way. You know, we do important work
Joel,
here.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Precisely.
I don't know. I thought that was completely unnecessary, Bernie.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like it when I saw the tweet initially. I was just assuming it was some rando out there. I didn't know it was somebody who actually worked in the industry because when the text line makes certain corrections every once in a while, I mean, it's the text line. You know, your standards right. should only be so high. For the folks on the text line, their listening skills, their comprehension skills. Like earlier when I was referencing that Pat Mahomes is, you know, a little bit more of an artist. You know, he doesn't necessarily always read coverages to the nth degree when he's making these plays because there's something intuitive about the way he's able to do things. Then, of course, the text line has, well, are you saying Mitch can read coverages better than Pat Mahomes? Well, no. But it's the text line, so I don't feel a need to react to that or to say anything in response to it because that's obviously not the point I was making, and I'm pretty sure I specifically even stated it that way. For Bernie, the news guy down the hallway, who we didn't say it was only going to be legalized in Chicago. We didn't say no one in the state of Illinois had ever smoked weed before.
And so what if we did say it was Chicago? So what if we did make an error? No. That was unwarranted.
The only
snotty
thing you guys
little comment
asked was, will dispensaries be open tomorrow? That's it. That was your question, Will.
Right. And actually, specifically, just so Bernie understands what he misunderstood, my specific question was, will dispensaries be open in Chicago tomorrow? So he heard the city of Chicago. I didn't say, hey, there's never been weed legalized in Illinois from anyone before medical purposes or otherwise. No, that was not at all what got stated. And yes, there's obviously an understanding that Chicago will not be the only place where the new bill will be legalized as it comes into fruition tomorrow, or I guess in this case, at midnight tonight, because that will be January 1st.
And nobody cares about the medical stuff, so whatever. You can't get
whatever,
it if you don't
Bernie.
Care. So this is all we got to say to Bernie.
This is going in my...
every day.
This is going in my report to Ron Gleason. Gleason, control your employees. We can't have this. Not on a festive day like today.
Yeah, we saw Lisa when we went looking for coffee unsuccessfully yesterday.
Yeah, Lisa Fielding, delightful to us.
Delightful.
A hug, and apparently you guys have some history as
we
well.
We do. When I was teaching over at the Illinois Media School, she was nice enough to come and speak to my class on occasion and share her knowledge of the industry for all the young burgeoning media types who wanted to start doing this gig for whatever reason. So, yes, Lisa, extremely pleasant. Very nice person who would never come at our necks on Twitter for an incorrect reason.
Right. Just the snotty little remark of, may want to pay a little attention. We're not actually, technically, Bernie, look at me. Bernie, I know you're listening. Look at me, Bernie. We're actually not required to pay attention to the news. We're allowed to throw things out there without full knowledge of what we're talking about.
That is correct.
You understand me, Bernie?
Stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into this impeachment stuff. So, can you imagine? 312-644-6767. Let's do this. Let's just go hard on the news. I actually did a show on WBBM recently.
Yeah?
A year in review show with my friend over at WBBM, Craig Delamore.
Okay.
And with Mary Dixon. Formerly of WXRT, we did a year in review show. So I did comment on the news of the day.
I don't know. I'm waiting
for the air check. I'm going to send my air check to Bernie so he can tell me what things I did incorrectly. He can condescend to us, too.
That,
so
huh?
I'm glad. So I'm glad he got that out of his system. Apparently, he just felt the need to condescend to somebody today. And if that's what he needed, that's fine. And we have rebutted. So I feel better. Do you feel better?
I suppose. I mean, I tend to like these discussions in person, like over the face-to-face variety. If Bernie feels like there's something he'd like to express.
Don't be so naive. Come on, face-to-face. Yeah. This is a social media world we live in here.
I suppose.
Yeah. So, man, I don't know. Man, I like our chances. against
No.
And I've always got a lot, like, you know, I worked at BBM for, you know, I still do to some degree, doing the sidelines and, you know, worked there for 7 years as a full-time reporter. Had
Despite
some nice...
your good friend Jeff Joniak just deciding to nix you from his thank yous at the end of the show.
It's been a bad couple of days for me and my friends, my former friends at WBBM.
Maybe I'm keeping bad company here. Is that the problem?
I don't know what's going on. I've always...
I'm going to have friends. Like, is Lisa not going to like me anymore now that she knows we hang out?
I always thought that that was a safe haven for me. When they used to be on the 11th floor, I'd go upstairs to feel better and hang out with the nice people of WBBM, the good, wholesome people. But
speaking of safe space, though, like all the construction that went on between this floor and that floor, and you showed me the other building yesterday.
Yeah, how'd you like
fitness
that?
Center in there.
Yeah, we have two nice towers here at Prudential, and I showed Anthony our awesome gym that exists in Tower 2.
I'm sure Chris Dickens spends plenty of time in.
I don't know where it's at. I would like to know.
You want a little tour?
Yeah,
today?
I would like a little tour.
All right, after we get off at 6 o'clock. No, I don't have time.
You got reservations.
Yeah. We got the early bird.
When I see you in 6 months, we'll do it.
6 months? Where are you going, man?
Who knows?
Oh.
Where are you going?
Are you
okay? Well, no, I'll be around.
IHOP? Like, where's your dinner at tonight?
Oh, that's a great question. No, I don't want to give it away, but it's Weber Grill. Weber Grill. We're going to Weber Grill tonight.
All right.
It's, you know, sometimes you go to places like that. I have no problem. We're going to the Weber Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, if you see me out there, come out up and say hello. No, I'm working tomorrow. That's what started this whole conversation, is that I'm working with Steve Rosenblum tomorrow at 7 a.m. on New Year's Day, on the day on which pot becomes illegal. Throughout the state of Illinois, Bernie.
Throughout the entire state.
State, throughout the whole state, Bern.
All 37 miles of the state of Illinois.
And so I've got to be
Correct
up at
that,
like
Bernie.
5 tomorrow morning. So I've got 6 o'clock reservations downtown with some friends, and then I'm going to split and go home. I'm not ashamed to be watching, you know, Carson Daly or Anderson Cooper tonight for my entertainment on television for New Year's Eve. I don't care.
Now, so Chicago no longer does the Chicago, whatever it was called, like the Chicago Rising or whatever, that stopped a couple of years back.
Yeah,
right?
I went to the first manifestation of that, and it just, it wasn't good.
So you have done an outdoor midnight deal before?
I did that. Okay. Yeah, I think that was the only one. You know, when I really used to celebrate New Year's Eve, I was big on the all-inclusive, like pay $40 at a bar and drink all you want, eat all you want.
Okay.
Like that was what I would do. And typically, when I lived in the city, it was some bar on Southport, like Justin's or something like that.
Mm.
But that had to end a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just to live and all. what about you? What's your thing? Are you an NYE guy? You don't seem like it. You don't seem like a
never,
guy.
Yeah. We've never done New York for New Year's. We've done Vegas for New Year's, me and my wife. We've done... When we were living in Atlanta when I was playing with the Falcons. And
that's where the players play, man.
They do a peach drop. In Atlanta. So one of the years we were living there, we went outside and we hung out with the folks in downtown Atlanta, did the peach drop, took that in, and the peach, you know, similar to the ball in Times Square in New York City, the ball comes down and you're counting it down. So as the peach finishes dropping, and you're 3, 2, 1, and Happy New Year. And so, you know, once the exhilaration of the moment is over, then
now what
you
do
just,
we do?
You're elbow to elbow.
Yeah, now we're screwed and we're going
through
traffic.
Other people and everyone's trying to go in the exact same direction. And downtown Atlanta really isn't very pedestrian friendly. There's a couple of spots where there's a little bit more open space, but it's not like Chicago. Chicago's just such a great pedestrian city. You can walk anywhere and it feels like you can get there at a moment's notice. It's not like that in ATL, man. So we were just elbow to elbow, just waiting and grinding and bumping and trying to get our way to the next spot because, you know, party wasn't done at midnight. We just needed to get to where the next set was going to be at. So it took us a minute before we finally got there. Once we were there, we had a great time. But that was, I think that's the one true outdoor midnight experience I had was in Atlanta for the peach drop. Other than that, a little here, a little there, taking in some midnight piano bars, doing a little karaoke here and there as I've been known to do. But, you know, some years we just chill. We sit in the house, do nothing. That's pretty much what we're going to do tonight.
You're a classy guy, aren't you? You seem like it.
Yeah,
you're a measured
let's go with
being.
That. Let's
you
go
seem
with
like
that.
A measured, doesn't he?
I'm definitely measured.
Like a very
definitely measured.
Human
that I
being.
Can agree with off the bat.
Yeah.
Classy? Probably. Measured, definitely.
Okay. All right.
Anthony's just a good guy. That's it. That's all I see him. He's just a good guy in my book. That's it. I don't need to call him classy or measured.
Okay.
He's just a solid human being.
Did you go to any concerts this year?
Ooh.
Music.
I'm sure I did.
Or theater.
Hashtag 2019
memory. In keeping with the classy theme, you probably went to.
Yes,
I saw Hamilton this year.
Was that the first time seeing it? Okay.
First time seeing it.
Yeah.
It was
outstanding,
it was
right?
Great. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was one of those rare times when something that was pumped up to me actually lived up
right,
to expectations.
Right. You get worried about that. I'm worried about that with Eddie Murphy for 2020.
I am too. Oh my God. Yeah, I was worried about it on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and it's like the comeback, I guess, the third comeback Eddie's had or whatever. So I wasn't sure what to expect. So I didn't want to get my hopes up too high. I didn't even watch it live. I watched it on the DVR in case there was like some thuds and I could just kind of, you know, fast forward through a dud here or there. But I was pleased. I didn't think he seemed completely comfortable right off the bat. The monologue, you know, he brought the guys out, had a little help here and there or whatever. But overall, I thought he was very funny. It was he pulled it off. It's not his best work. I hope his full stand-up will look more in command of the stage than he did just during the SNL monologue. But the sketches were funny. Eddie's just a naturally funny dude, man.
He's the GOAT to
me. The very last sketch of the night, just him as like the elf next to the reporter and, you know, whatever it was. What was it, like bears were attacking people or something like that? That was hilarious just because of Eddie. So, you know, I don't usually judge Eddie that harshly anyway, but I want him to be funny. And if that's sort of the first
image. You're
rooting
for him. Like,
very
I do
much
too.
So. Very much
favorite,
so.
He's my favorite comedian of all time, my favorite entertainer. I mean, the stand-up that he did was just unbelievable, and his talent is just so real. I loved my favorite part of the Saturday Night Live is, I mean, they played the hits. You know, Gumby was great,
right?
And Buckwheat and Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, but the fact that they brought back Velvet Jones was just delicious.
And how, I mean, there had to be just a small segment of the populace that even got that. I mean, I know there's people our age and older who still watch SNL or whatever, but the millennials, that's what everybody's trying to appeal to. They had no idea who Velvet Jones was.
I hope they thought it was funny. It was an updated version of Velvet Jones, sort of, kind of.
And Gumby, how many of them have heard of Gumby?
Probably not, really? But honestly, when Gumby was around, Gumby, like, I didn't know much about Gumby in the 80s either, but Eddie Murphy brought it to us. And it's like, even if you don't know who Gumby is, it's still funny. It's like, I don't know what he's doing, but it's funny.
Cartoons didn't really transition for a long time. Like, even if you're a kid of the 80s or the 90s or something like that, you were kind of watching the same cartoons that were around in the 60s before they really started updating to some of the more recent things. Even something like Mickey Mouse has been around forever, longer than any of us have been alive. It's a different version of Mickey Mouse than it was 40 or 50 years ago. Mickey was a little more slapstick, a little more dangerous now than he is now.
The dangerous Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, it was like a PG-13 Mickey back in the day.
I'll kick your ass, Bernie.
There might have been some of that coming from
That'll do it.
But so anyway, Bernie. Yes.
Bernie.
Jesus, Bernie. Man. All right, do we got time to do the Buster screen, or do we want to take a, I don't know, Dickens? What's that? Is that a yes? Hey, we're going to do it on the other side. All right, we will take a break right now. We'll get back to Bernie, but when we return, we will actually get a chance to hear from Buster Skrine, who I thought gave one of the most interesting endorsements of the Bears head coach Matt Nagy last week. It is Grody and Heron filling in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back on track, right? Right here.
Yeah, I think we're back on track. Grody and Heron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Never got off track, Groats.
No, we did not.
Tell Bernie to get his mind right.
Bernie. We're in for McNeil and Parkins today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. There's room for you, too, at 312-644-6767. We are textable at 670-11. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Anthony had a really good comment yesterday about Matt Nagy, that he goes beyond, like, everybody knows that he's a nice guy, but he's also respected in that locker room and by Bears players, even if this year has been, and it has been, at best, a mediocre season this year for the Bears. But I talked to Buster Skrine, the Bears nickelback, a guy who you would think would be as far away as anybody is making any kind of comments about the head coach just because of the separation between defense and offense. But listen to what Buster Skrine had to say about the Bears locker room and the Bears head coach.
Just the culture around here is really good. I can't say that. And I've been on a lot of teams. Not on a lot of teams, but I've had a lot of different head coaches.
Sure.
And Nagy and Pace. I mean, they're really good at what they do.
Is this the best culture you've been around?
By far.
by far.
For sure. Like, a lot of times when teams aren't going to the playoffs, all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. But this team right here, we believe in our coaches, people in charge. So I'm just looking forward to this game and next year.
So that's a real thing. Separation can occur in a locker room when things go badly, win-loss-wise.
If you're in a different locker room, a lot of times separation, you can see it. Even, like, as needed, you can see, like, players don't get along. Coaches don't get along, but this team is just different.
Does that happen because players blame each other for things having gone wrong when things are bad?
I wouldn't say players are blaming each other. I mean, things build up, and once you can't go to the playoffs, then bang, there it goes.
Little irritating things become real.
Right, but not here.
Are there enough good leaders in this locker room, too, that help with that?
I would say Mac is the leader of the locker room. I mean, to be a guy, whatever he makes, and practice the way he practices, play the way he plays, every snap. I mean, he's never complained about anything. Good dude.
That is Bears defensive back Buster Skrien right there with a glowing and specific endorsement of Matt Nagy. It didn't sound like to me, Heron, that he was just saying it to say it because you have to say good things about the coach. What did you think of that as a guy who has been in his fair share of NFL locker rooms?
I liked it, and it doesn't surprise me at all. Matt Nagy, while he spends the meeting room time and certainly the sideline time with the offensive guys more so than the defensive, because that is what he is tasked with on game day, or tasks himself with on game day, is to call the plays for the offense. But overall, the attitude that he has and the way that he communicates with and tries to interact with players, you know, from all position groups on all sides of the ball, I think that comes across. It comes across well. It's, you know, I think it's fairly obvious that he is easy to be around, easy to get along with. And I think the more important aspect of that is what I was addressing yesterday, is the respect that he still, I think, is able to gain from the players, whether veteran or young guys. He has been around the block in the NFL for a little while. And while he's still a young individual, getting the first head coaching opportunity, he's been in the league for a minute, and he carries himself well. He carries himself like a guy who is worthy of respect, who knows what he's doing, even in the midst of, I think, things that are questionable from a play-calling standpoint. But the demeanor you have as a coach, as a leader of men, those things still come across very well. So it doesn't surprise me at all that even defensive players like Buster Skrien, who've been in so many NFL locker rooms, some of them in difficult circumstances, but can look at a Matt Nagy and be coached by, led by Matt Nagy, and say that, yeah, this is a guy who keeps us collectively together and on the same page and keeps a great atmosphere for the work environment.
Buster Skrien.
That's so love, bro.
Yeah, bro. Buster Skrien's a guy who's been, this is his ninth year in the league, going on into his 10th year. He played a bunch of years with Cleveland. He was then most previously with the New York Jets. So he has been around when things have broken down. I also thought it was interesting, too, I mean, not surprising, that the guy that he singled out as the, and this was, you know, I talked to him more than just the 1 minute that you heard right there, but that it is Khalil Mack who is the undisputed leader in that locker room. I was a little surprised just because I thought maybe it was Akeem Hicks in terms of, you know, having the voice in there, but it does make complete sense when you do have a guy who has a historic contract in the NFL, period, offensive or defensive side of the ball. And this guy, he is, for lack of better terminology, or just to capsulize Mac's life out there, he hustles. He hustles. You know what I mean? Like, he takes every practice snap seriously, which I think is a relative rarity in the NFL. So I usually hate when I hear lead by example, because, I mean, you look for the guy who has the voice in a locker room. But I think that in this case, leading by example is okay, because if you're not going to be like the guy who's making the most amount of money and hustling on every single practice play, then you got a problem.
And I would say that for Akeem Hicks, the fact that he wasn't on the field for such a wide swath of time this year, then that's probably why he's not even just chief of mind in the moment when a guy like Buster Skrien thinks of it, because he hadn't been in the defensive huddles. He hasn't been on the field between the white lines with the guys as much. So that's why Khalil Mack probably even just occurs to him more readily, because Mack's the one who's been on the field out there with them. I would think if Akeem Hicks had been out there throughout the season, like if this same question was asked a year ago, if Buster Skrien was around in 2018 as opposed to just in 2019, then maybe Akeem Hicks would have been the first name, or he would have put him side by side with Mack or something along those lines, because verbally, vocally, it certainly is Akeem Hicks that's just kind of the, more of the mouthpiece for the team in general, let alone just the defensive side of the football.
And Danny Trevathan, too. Probably you can give the same reason. He didn't play for half the season. So, of course, his voice is not going to be heard. But he's definitely a vocal leader in that locker room. All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we will continue to talk about the Bears. We will also hear from the Cubs' former manager and current LA Angels of Anaheim manager, Joe Maddon, talk a little bit of baseball. Also, I saw Maggie Hendricks walking into the studios, which means Julie DeCaro will be here soon. And those two collectively, Julie and Maggie, will join us for Transition in a little while as well.
There are also a couple of questions on the text line that I wouldn't mind responding to.
Please,
some about Bears' scheme in the run game, and also about the ganja, about the wacky tobacco. So address some of those.
We're going to dive right back into it next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.